He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys
smooth.
Drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama. It's your host, Dick Hugger. We got a special show for you tonight. We got Fiona of the Australian Sex Party here tonight, here to drop some political knowledge on your ass and say sex all at the same time. Speaking of sex, I got my special co-host in the house, my girl, Benita the JJ. Say something.
What's up, y'all?
How you doing, Benita?
What's up, Big Hugger?
I'm good. I'm real good. You know, I'm
excited. Are you excited
about... I'm trying
to ask you, are you excited about Fiona coming on?
I'm excited. You know, it ain't a lot of times you get to talk to international players.
Not in the sex game, in the sex party.
All right, so you know, I get to talk Dick Isms International.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And I'm happy because the Lakers lost tonight. I know a lot of people are gonna be like, "Damn, man, you're on the West Coast, you're supposed to be loving the Lakers." Nah, I'm not. And
you see the Lakers for what they are. You see them for what they are, so, I mean, for that I respect, but I really could care less. They are what they are.
All right. Well, I'm happy the Lakers lost. I'll just leave it at that. So that adds to my bubbleness, my bubbly, whatever you want to call it. In between then, I want to hear from y'all. You know, we got an international guest. She got some opinions on some things, and I want to hear what y'all's opinions is on her opinions and her stances. So hit us up, 646-929-2037. Once again, the call number, 646-929-2037. And as always, if you're a little scared, you don't really want to call, you can always hit me up on the email tip. You can email your thoughts and ideas and questions to dick@smoothdrama.com. Dick.
Don't be scared.
Hey.
No.
Dick is good for you.
I guess by email, it can be okay. I am really excited. Since you answered me, I'll answer you now. I am really excited that Fiona's going to be on. I've never heard of a sex political talk called a sex party. So to me, this is going to be, kind of enlightening, to say the least.
Yeah, well, for me, I actually, when I first heard of the sex party, I talked about it on the show last year. So... you know, it was one of those things. I look for people who are out the box, but are in the box. So I can take credit and say that, yeah, I actually knew about them last year. And I'm hoping that I can become an honorary member, but we'll discuss that later.
You get the key to the
city? I'll just take a key to the condo.
Oh, okay.
Wherever
they be, huh?
But,
okay.
You know, speaking of keys and contracts and whatnot, ladies and young people in general, you know, you don't have to sign everything people put in front of you. in this this contract that I'm reading about here, is just sad that a pregnant girlfriend, she signed an abuse contract which allowed her man to beat her.
What?
Yeah. The guy's name is Graydon Smith. He's in the Seattle area. And I guess what he was lording over this girl. She was a teenager. And what he did so that he could beat on her, he had her sign a contract. And it stated in the contract that it allowed him to physically assault her on any part of her body except for her pregnant belly.
But I guess the rest of her body isn't needed for the baby's growth either. What is that, retarded? I mean, is he, well, of course he's retarded.
Well, yeah, retarded.
And she can't read, I'm sorry, but as a teenager, you could still read. You might have been sold off for a little couple of, you know, some cattle or whatever.
Well,
but you can still read, can't you? Was she blind and it wasn't in Braille? What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. I mean, and that was the issue. I mean, Mr. Smith here thought that he was safe because he had the contract. And he had the contract. I mean, just the fact that this dumbass had the audacity to write out a contract, I can whoop your ass and beat you everywhere but on your stomach. I mean, just for thinking that, he should get at least 20 years. Just because he thought of that. And he should get another 20 years for putting it in her face and making her sign it. I'm thinking there's a broomstick in his future.
There's got to be.
A big, long, hard broomstick. Maybe 3 or 4 broomsticks.
Or still cold.
Well, yeah, that too. I mean, because this is a guy who was actually convicted of domestic violence all the way back in 2003. And he had 5 other counts of domestic violence and assault also. So.
It just shows that it's not taken seriously. And for him to get someone to sign a contract based upon his violent past, that's a form of insanity. In some type of mental institution.
Yeah, I mean that was one of the worst things that I've heard. I can't believe that he could think that he'd get away with this, and then thinking that there would be a judge that'd be like, oh well, he has a contract, so he has a case. Go on about whooping her ass some more. I mean, come on, and she is pregnant too. Now, under the jail. Go to jail. It's like Monopoly. Go to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect 200. Nothing. Goodbye. Never to come back. You know. Ever. That was some of the worst stuff that I ever heard. But, you know, I mean,
yeah.
And maybe it's because of too much TV. You know, you talk about Americans. We watch too much TV, whatnot. He probably was watching one of these judge shows, and you know, you see people they sign the contract, the promissory note. He figured, yeah, I can get her to sign a promissory note, and bam, I got it.
I mean, because the first thing you learn, you don't sign everything.
Well,
maybe not.
Well, it's all retardation. Doesn't matter. Speaking of retardation, you know how we get further and further along where people say that there is no evolution? I would agree. But I say there is no evolution because I say instead of people getting smarter and evolving and getting smarter and more intelligent, we going backwards. This school, Parma High School, in Ohio didn't give a girl her diploma because she had a nose ring in her nose.
Okay.
They told her, you had to take it out. She's like, I can't take it out or it's going to start bleeding on the stage. So they withheld her diploma.
I recall that.
On graduation night.
I saw how you feel. She was going to get another diploma, and everybody else followed the rule.
Well,
or she the exception of the rule. Or was it a new rule that night? It seemed like it was policy.
According to her, she said there are a lot of people with nose rings. And me personally, I don't see the difference between a nose ring and an earring. Just me. That don't make sense to you? Just, you know, earring is a piercing in your body, and people are fine with earrings, but, oh, if I put one in my nose, I'm violating? Really?
I can't say that's necessarily true. However, where do you stop it? Is it okay for me to have a lip ring, an eyebrow ring?
Well, I'm saying this.
The forearms that you can see through these tight little shirts that we wear now?
I'm not mad at that.
Where do you draw the
line? I'm not mad at that. I'm just saying.
I'm mad at you. I mean, I'm not mad at you. Most of you asked me every day if I used to have one. But I said no, but I have a ring in my nose.
Okay. Well, but that's the point. I mean, so we say that this isn't right, then this isn't right, but this is right. I get confused sometimes. I don't know. I don't see the difference between an earring in the nose or an earring in the ear. But that's just me. I'm weird.
If I'm going to say that, then I got to say I don't see a difference between an earring anywhere. If that's what it is, like in your lip, wherever, that's where it is. Because to me, I mean, earring is an earring, and wherever you put it on your face, it's still on your face. And it's noticeable. And that I don't necessarily care whether or not you got it, but if you're at a school and they seem to care, then I guess you got to respect them.
Yeah.
And I'll get your diploma. I can't say I would have taken mine out. Stand on, I mean, she needs to stand on her business. She didn't want to want it. Rocky.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that was the point. She did take it out, so she didn't get her diploma. I can understand that during the school year, but graduation night, you're not seeing them again anyway. Does it really matter?
Not really. You just want to start stuff, I guess, if you didn't look at it that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I looked at it. I could be wrong. Some folks,
that's how I was.
You know, you...
That's how I was, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it seemed like something that was kind of trivial. And, you know, people trip over trivial stuff like an earring in the nose. I mean, I can see if she went up there and she'd had the thong pants on with the thong hanging out, and you're like, hey, no, that's unacceptable. But it's a little earring in the nose. That's all. I'm just saying stuff that should make sense. Some folks don't think it should make sense. They like, well, the rule is the rule, and that's fine. But was there really any harm there? Or are these people butt sphincters so tight that they can't?
I mean, honestly, there are both of you that are stupid and should be broken. But it just depends on which one you really want to stand up and vote. Personally, you know, I probably would have said I don't even want to know them.
Right. Well, I don't want one either. If it means anything.
God bless the child.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a station identification break, and we'll be back with Smooth Drama, and we're going to get our guests on here.
Hello,
Yes, sir. Listen here, man. It's your boy, Cam Wee. I'm just acting a fool. With my man, DH. Y'all know him as. And Butter Butter Pecan. Yes, sir. Chosen.
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your old Dick Hugger and my homegirl special co-host, Benita Vajayjay.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So.
Everybody knows what a Vajayjay is.
I don't think a lot of people know what a Vajayjay is.
Well, I'm going to have to ask them to Google it, too.
Right, so for those people who do not know what a vajayjay is, feel free to let your fingers do the walking. Get your Google on. In the meantime, we're about to give my homegirl Fiona a call.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Thank you. It's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you on. Now, I want to get to it. Now, as the convener of the Australian Sex Party, I want to know what inspired you to start the party in the first place?
Look, I've been working as a lobbyist for the adult industry in Australia for nearly 20 years. Mm. I had been mainly lobbying on censorship issues, and Australia has a lot of censorship, particularly on sexual material.
Really?
And then late last year, our communications minister announced that we would have a mandatory internet filter that would create a secret list of websites that would be blocked from Australians by the Australian government. And that was the last straw. We just thought, we need to run a political campaign, and in the process, why not set up a political party?
Wow. You're saying that they set it up where there's a list of websites that just automatically would not come up in Australia?
That is exactly right. So, and particularly this would be around kind of like fetish material, or even most mainstream porn sites would be blocked by this filter. So just say you were typing in www.hustler.com, it would come up, sorry, this site's blocked for Australians to view.
Wow.
Wow.
That's terrible.
It's scary. It's really scary. And fortunately, most Australians think this is a terrible idea. So we're really hoping to get a lot of votes in the federal election, which could be in the next month or two.
Okay, so you have candidates that are for office?
That's right. It's the electoral system here is quite different from the United States. So it means that minor parties actually do have an opportunity of winning a seat in the Senate. And we have 12 senators representing each state in Australia, and we'll be running a Senate candidate in every state in Australia, and hopefully we'll get one up. We need to get about 14% of the vote in a state, which we think, well, it's not impossible.
Okay. So... I mean, I guess for me, one, I know y'all system is better than ours because minor parties don't get shit here.
Yes.
That's not happening. No. Two, why do you, I mean, because I know for you the perception would be not to take you seriously because the name of your party is the Australian Sex Party. What do you say to people who don't think of you or take you seriously because of that name?
Yeah, look, I mean, firstly, the scary thing is that the minor parties that have been elected have been from the Christian right. So we've got a group called Family First, and we've got a group called, I can't remember their other name, but we've got a few Christian organised political parties that have won seats. So we think it's really important that we stand up there against them. And two, yeah, we actually did think long and hard about the name. We could have called ourselves the Australian Civil Liberties Party or the Australian Adult Party. But in the end, we knew that we were going to get, this would get us attention. And the people who don't take us seriously, when they look at our policies, they actually say, well, hell, I actually agree with everything they're talking about. And we're not just talking about sex in the bedroom. We're talking about sexuality. We're talking about gender. We're talking about a whole range of different policies and issues. And then there's the other guys who aren't going to take us seriously. We have compulsory voting here, so everyone has to vote. And there's a whole bunch of people who
Hold on. Wait a minute. I'm in the twilight zone here. Compulsory voting where everybody has to vote or what?
They get a $50 fine.
Shit, we need that here. I'm sorry.
Look, I know there's two sides to the argument, but I quite like it.
That's too much control.
Yeah, that's
too much control.
But I guess on the positive side, it's about if you're an Australian citizen, you have a responsibility to vote, and we try and take that responsibility seriously, and that's why we say no. You know, you have to vote. You can't just wake up on Saturday morning and say, I've got a hangover, I don't feel like going and voting. You actually have to drag yourself out of bed and get down to a voting booth. However, we do voting on Saturdays. I think you guys on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is, most people aren't at work.
Do you have absentee balloting?
Yes, we do. So you can absentee vote, you can postal vote. You can do any range. And look, you can just write to them and say, sorry, my grandmother was sick or my dog ate my homework or, you know, whatever it is and not vote. But for the sex party, this is a great thing because at the moment, both the major political parties are on the nose. Everyone hates our Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, but they hate our opposition leader, Tony Abbott, even more. So I think there'll be a lot of protest votes, and hopefully they'll just see that sex party on the ballot ticket and go, right, I'm just going to vote for them.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that it's necessary to have an entire sex party to get those censorship, I guess, kind of abolished?
Yeah, it was interesting, really. Once we started thinking about the internet filter, we just started thinking about other sex issues like equal rights for gays. So yeah, I know in some of the states in the US you have gay marriage. We run a kind of different political system. So for us to get gay marriage recognised in Australia, we'd have to do it federally. So that's one of our policies. We also think our sex education system in Australia is fucked. So we'd like to see compulsory sex education. So what we found when we were establishing the party that there were so many other issues that dealt with sex and sexuality on a national level that we could represent and fight for in the federal parliament.
Well, now, I was going to ask you that, I mean, because I know you were talking about sex ed and how, you know, you say yours is fucked. I mean, yours can't be any worse than ours. I mean, ours is just you watch a woman have a baby.
Ours is not much better. Having said that, I mean, some schools do it well, some schools do it really badly, and some schools don't do it at all. you know, I know you guys have got a lot of schools that preach the abstinence program.
Yeah,
and
that's not working.
No, that doesn't work. Just say no. I think, you know, since Nancy Reagan's time, we have proved that didn't work.
No, that didn't work.
Yeah.
And said yes that first time, and then I did it. That's pretty much it.
Well, we can do like a national, we have a national education curriculum here, which sets out what everyone must learn in mathematics, in history, in English, in science, and so forth. And we think that sex education should be part of that curriculum. And it should be really from the day you start school to the day you leave school. So you don't start saying, let's talk about sex when the kids are 13 and their hormones are just racing around.
Right.
You build it up and you make it age appropriate. But I think that would solve a lot of our sexual violence problems, our sexual health problems. I think we'd be a whole happier community.
I agree with you there. I mean, because our educational system is supposedly universal, where you're supposed to learn a certain set of things, but as you know, state by state, it's no good here also, and it's the quality of the teachers, quality of the individuals going into teaching. So yeah, definitely, I understand where you're coming from there. I was going to also talk about your on one of your platform issues, the abolishment of sexual servitude. You want to talk about that one?
Yeah. Look, I know, I mean, you probably, in your country as well, we talk about sex trafficking and sex slaves and people coming in and working in the prostitution industry. In Australia, prostitution is legal in most states. So like it's legal in Nevada, it's legal in every state in Australia like that. So we have legal brothels in almost all states in Australia. But if you're a sex worker from, say, Thailand or America or Canada, you can't come to this country and work as a sex worker. You have to lie and, you know, and fake your visa or something. And then that leads you to getting involved with criminals. And that's where we think that sexual servitude comes from. It's because you push people who are sex workers into an illegal transaction and start dealing with people smugglers and those types of things. We'd like people to be able to be really upfront and say, I'm coming to this country to work in a legal brothel for 6 months, raise money to help my family's farm or whatever it might be. We think that would have a better effect than to just ban people from coming here to work.
Yeah, we call it the green card. You can get a fuck visa, I guess, here. If we had it like y'all, but it's not even legal here in every state, as you stated. It's only legal in one here.
Yeah, and I guess that's the point of difference, is that because we have a legal sex industry, we think that people should be allowed to legally work in it and legally travel to this country to work in it. And that would fix a lot of the problems that we have with people working illegally in our brothels and quite often working under really bad conditions, not being allowed to use condoms and that type of thing.
Hmm. Yeah, well, in that note, I know that last week y'all had National Horn Day.
Yeah. Did you have it over there?
No, I don't think they're celebrating hoes over here.
I don't think so. We're pimped up hoes down, though. explain to us exactly what that day meant in Australia.
What it meant was that while we have a legal system and we have a lot of sex worker rights organisations, on International Whores Day, we celebrate the fact that people can work as sex workers legally, that sex work can be a legitimate occupation, but we still have a lot of discrimination in this country. You know, we still just find, for example, the newspapers will charge a sex worker 3 times the amount to advertise than they would charge, you know, a used car salesman. And so there's still lots of issues of discrimination and a bit of stigma. So it's about kind of going out there and saying we're proud. And you get a lot of sex workers going onto the streets and going up to Parliament, on the steps of Parliament, wearing bright red and celebrating.
Okay, so now
it was Sunday.
Now we go back to all citizens being able to vote. So I'm going to assume that if you're just there as a sex worker, you're not a citizen, you obviously cannot vote. Correct.
That's right. If you're an overseas sex worker, so say you've come from Thailand or New Zealand or Canada, no, you wouldn't be allowed to vote. Voting in Australia is just for Australian residents and Australian citizens.
Yeah, I'm understanding that, but so what is the immigration law there? What is the immigration law?
Well, we've got a few, but I think it's easier to visit come to our country than it is to come to your home.
Depends on what you look like here.
Yeah, right. In Australia we have, I don't know if it's the same in every country, but, you know, we're really worried about asylum seekers, too many immigrants coming to our country, and, you know, there's a lot of racism still in this country. From a sex worker,
immigrants from where, and like racism against what culture? Because it's different for
mainly. I think the people that are getting bashed, you know, kind of not bashed like physically, but bashed in the papers and bashed by the sort of the more racist people of our country are mainly people from Muslim backgrounds, and so from Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq. And also some from places like Sri Lanka and India, where there's a lot of civil war in those countries, there's a lot of turmoil. So, I mean, these people are desperate to find somewhere safe to come. And, you know, we've got some pretty bad laws about what we do with people like that.
Yeah, we've got a couple of bad laws here also. We're not treating, are overreacting with our immigrants here just a little bit, in my personal opinion. It's a little crazy here right now, especially if you're from Mexico.
Oh, that's right. I heard about those laws in one of those southern, was it one of those southern states? Was it Arizona
Southwestern Arizona. Yeah, they've taken it to the next level. Not only is the law about illegal immigrants and checking your status and having your paperwork. Also, they've cut ethnic studies. These people, even if you have an accent, you can get pulled out of your classroom. And to top it off, they passed a law where if you have a gun, you can have a gun in a bar.
Right.
Now, that one is the ultimate in crazy. I don't get that. You know, no ethnic studies, and I mean, in this we're talking about education and understanding different people. But hey, you can have a gun in the bar where they sell alcohol.
I think coming from Australia, where we've never really had a gun culture, it's really hard to understand this notion that everyone can carry a gun or even wants to carry a gun. And we have pretty strict gun laws over here. And, you know, not many people get killed by a gun. So I think they work.
Yeah.
I'm sure criminals can get guns.
That's the thing. Y'all have real tough guys there and tough girls, because if you really want to get at somebody, you have to, like, you got to physically choke them out.
No, we just have beer drinking competition. and we'll just see if we can drink them out.
Hey, that, I guess so long as you're not driving.
That's right.
So much, no, much have no drunk driving contest out there. Now,
yeah, no, we're. I think we've all learned about drink driving in this country these days. We're fairly, we've had it pretty much brainwashed into us never to drink and drive.
Yeah, we need some of that over here. We definitely need some of that over here. Now, speaking of which, something else that you're for, when you were talking about the commission on sexual abuse by religious institutions, how would you come about instituting that?
Well, over here we can call what's called a royal commission, which means that you get a few judges together and it's an independent committee that does a broad inquiry into child sexual abuse in the church. Ireland has recently done it, but it's about, you know, exposing the church for what they've done. And I know it's coming out a lot, and as in Australia and, of course, in the United States.
Just a little
bit. The church is still trying to, the church is trying to still keep it secret. I mean, in Australia alone, we reckon that there's over 1,000 priests who have sexually abused children. Now, that's like, you know, even 10% of, or 5% of the workforce. Imagine if that was any other industry. It would be closed down.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a lot of just Catholicism, too, so we have to take that into consideration as well.
Because most of the other Christian organizations here, the Reverends, they mostly pick on the older women. They don't go for the youngsters.
Yeah, they don't go for the youngsters.
you got and guilt loving pastors over there.
Yeah.
Dude, you are crazy.
I'm just saying, we know that if you name a religion, you can say exactly what they're doing. I mean, you, Catholicism, it's always little boys.
That is serious.
It's like 95% little boys.
Yeah.
And
trying to be accurate. I mean, come on.
Right. But the other religion, I mean, the other denomination, Christianity, whatnot, it's always MILFs, as you want to call them.
It's somebody's wife.
Yeah.
Either way, and I mean, it doesn't make it better. We're not saying that, but you know, we understand that there's a problem in life.
Well, I mean, I agree with that, and I mean, do you think that would, if that's instituted, that could help? I mean, would they be able to prosecute or maybe say that your church can't, because of the atrocities that you committed, your church can't in this area or whatnot? I mean, is that the end result that you're looking at?
Look, I hope it would more likely. I mean, I've got absolute belief in freedom of religion, but also freedom from religion.
Right.
And I think it would certainly get them to really fix up their problems and look at their problems, which they seem to be wanting to sweep it under the carpet and kind of pretend that it doesn't exist, except when it's, you know, when they're hit really hard with it. The other thing that gives me the shits over here is whenever we want to open up an adult shop in a town or a city, you know, it's the local church that complains and puts objections about that business opening, and they say, oh, if you do that, it will increase sexual crime in the area and it will be bad for children. And you kind of think, like, guys, look in your own backyard before you start blaming the adult industry.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's that whole double-edged sword there, because, you know, they'll blame, you know, this industry because you're saying, well, hey, you promote sex, but they won't as we all know, I mean, what they do is they just, a priest gets caught, they ship him to another part of the country or to the world, another part of the world, and he gets to start all over. Mm.
The difference is admitting that you're promoting it and not admitting that you're promoting it.
So, yeah, that's right. When Ireland did their Royal Commission, like a number of the priests that were mentioned, I think it was even like 60, were found to have been exported to Australia. So we'd got like 60 priests that had been found to be pedophiles in Ireland were sent to Australia over the last 50 or 60 years.
We don't want them. We'll send them to y'all.
Yeah, look, we used to be a convict colony, but we're not anymore.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, they do the same thing here. I mean, if you're a molester on the East Coast, they'll just send you to the West Coast. I mean, it boggles the mind how many stories that we've heard. I mean, there was one guy that had over 100 cases reported on him.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's in the church, he doesn't go to jail. And I'm like looking like, well, if you're a molester rapist, you're in the, if you want to get away with it, just become a priest.
Yeah, that's right.
They know that.
And they know
that.
I mean, it's crazy. And we look at it, but, and not to disparage a denomination, but it seems like the majority of these cats, that's what they do.
Mm. And we've had a lot of abuse also in the Anglican Church, which is like the American Episcopalian Church.
Right.
We've seen quite a bit of abuse in that church as well. But going with your theory that if you know the victim, you know which church. I mean, it was mainly women and girls in the Anglican Church, where you're right, the Catholics kept to altar boys.
Right. I mean, that's part of the whole, that's who the priests are working with, boys.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like the big political parties, they get a lot of funding from the churches and they get a lot of support from the churches, so they're not going to go down this path. And I think that it is up to minor parties like the Australian Best Party to go down this path and call them out and call the church out and say, well, why should we believe that you're fixing your own problems? Like, there's no real evidence that you've improved things or that you've brought people to justice. And that's what we want to see, people brought to justice.
Well, I know in reading your platform, you with your last platform, other issue, I'm thinking you will never, ever be endorsed by any church. Your whole ending the tax exempt status for religion.
Yeah.
I'm thinking you're not going to get a lot of fans in the church.
I think that's the one that's going to upset them the most. Like, even if that's going to be worse than the Royal Commission for them.
Hold on a second. We have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, you're on the air. Caller.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you there?
Okay. We'll get back to that. I guess we'll get back to that caller later. I guess they were having audio problems. Caller, give us a call back.
Oh, we need to give the number out. We haven't given it out since.
Yes. For those who want to call in, once again, the number is 646-929-2037. Once again, the number is 646-929-2037. SC. All right. You have a call? No. Okay. Well, call the call back. And that's what I was saying, that I think that is something that definitely needs to be looked at, you know, because not only are we talking about you know, ending their tax-exempt status because it's right. But they, a lot of these businesses, they use it as a shelter, a tax shelter.
That's right. That's right. And in Australia, they can get tax-exempt for what's very widely defined as promoting religion. And that's everything from, like, bringing out, you know, making millions of dollars on religious CDs, you know, those kind of, like, religious rock bands and things.
Right.
And they make millions of dollars, and that's all tax-free because they're saying, no, mate, we're promoting religion. And then even we have, I don't know if you've got it, we've got Gloria Jeans. It's a coffee business, and that's owned by a big church group called Hillsong. So, yeah, I think it's really important, and I think in the 21st century, I don't understand why promoting religion would be seen as something that the government should tax exempt.
Yeah, I've never understood it from the beginning. I mean, because I see these multi-mega churches, and they do nothing for the people but take their money. And they
put
nothing into the pot, but they're all taking.
Well, can you think that most churches would give to the community or something of that sort if they were going to take money like that, but...
Yeah, and if they give the money to the community, then it's tax-exempt because that's charity, and I have no problem with that. But like near where I live, there's this huge, big Catholic cathedral, and they had, you know, raising money at the cathedral. And you know how sometimes they have those big posters at the front that show how much money they've raised every month when they've got to their, like, $5 million goal. And it was to put a new steeple on the cathedral.
Right.
Around there, hundreds of homeless people sleep. And
that's why it becomes tricky.
Yeah, exactly. I think our society has moved on, and churches have probably a very different role to play now than they did in the 19th century.
Well,
I have a question for you. I have a question. Do you have any international, I guess, support for the political party in Australia? Because we haven't heard about anything. Nothing like this has popped up in America. I guess we have no purpose for it, considering we have, like, our censorship laws and, like, whatever. We watch what we want, whatever. It's up to you. But
yes, that's right. I mean,
you have there.
Yeah, you've got a First Amendment which protects your freedom of speech. We don't have one of those here. I think that we're really new, and I'm really pleased that I think we probably are the first political party to stand on a whole range of sex and sexuality and gender and censorship issues. There is a sex party in Canada, but it's quite different. It runs out of Vancouver, and it's more about the polyamorous community than it is about kind of what I see as big picture issues. I hope one day there will be, you know, international branches of the sex party, and certainly we take donations internationally, that's for sure.
I was going to ask that, can I be a member of the Australian sex party? Can I be an international member?
Yes, you can, and on our website, which I'm just going to give out, but on our website, you can just download the membership form, and while you can't vote in Australia, we welcome a really diverse group of people to be members.
And so where, if we were interested in the Australian Sex Party and its policies and platforms, where will we find you on the net?
At sexparty.org.au.
Can you say that one more time?
Sexparty.org, that's O-R-G, .au.
All right. I mean, I know for a fact, I found it interesting. I thought that your platform was actually a great platform, and I hope that some of the issues that you're speaking about, that you can get some traction in government and start cleaning up And it's a hard task when you start talking about, you know, you'll probably be like 2% of the government.
Mm. Yeah. But 2% can be a big voice. I think, like, it needs that voice in there that goes, hang on a minute, let's rethink this. And a lot of politicians are frightened to say that, and I guess we'll be a party that won't be frightened to raise some of those issues. And hopefully after this year's election, we'll have the chance to do that.
Now, I know also you with the censorship, I noticed you mentioned you want to put ratings on video games.
We have a really strange system here where everything that is viewed, that is films and computer games, must be rated by the government. And at the moment, the government says we won't allow any computer games that are rated for adults only. So that's kind of like your R18.
So
rating.
Basically,
you don't have the choice as an adult. I'm sorry.
No, that's right. So, and kind of what's stupid about this is that a lot of games that are restricted to adults, or that are rated for adults only in your country and in Europe, we get them pushed down rated for 15-year-olds here, when really they're adult games. So it's just, I don't know, we call it the nanny state, that
right.
The government's trying to control way too much of adult personal freedom.
Right. Now, one of the bloggers had an interesting point when they were speaking back on the church. A blogger says sex offenders should not have tax exempt status.
No, yeah, exactly.
Now, and if we think about that, now, would this be something that you would be for if we piggyback on that idea that if members of your church in the managerial, whatever you want to call it, in charge, if they are convicted of a sex offense, should automatically the tax-exempt status for that branch be taken away?
Look, I think that's a great idea. I'm not sure how we would fix that in law, and I wonder if it just means they just open a, you know, just same church, different name.
More than likely.
Yeah, we're not St. Paul's anymore, we're St. John's. But... yeah, I think we really need to bring them to task on this, and really they should have been doing it themselves. But because they're not, we as a community and we as a society need to bring these people to task.
Yeah.
Tax or the law.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, going back to what you were saying about the ratings, I mean, so basically you can't get adult material, but it's okay that you're stuck with SpongeBob and Barney?
Well, you know, it's really like in our adult rating schemes, I mean, it's kind of, I need like a week to explain it, but in a nutshell, a lot of the material that gets prohibited is only prohibited on the grounds that it has sexual material, not violence. So you can kill as many people in a game, you just can't fuck them. And so we see games being cut out because they have sex. And I think like that's a really wrong attitude. You know, sex doesn't kill anyone, generally speaking.
Okay.
Well, and speaking of that, you also worked in, I guess, as an advocate for HIV and AIDS in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. We, for the first time in this country, we are actually seeing an increase in HIV and AIDS number infections, particularly in the younger community, so in the sort of gay men 18 to 25. And I think this is lack of education. I've been working with the HIV and AIDS community for nearly 30 years here, and it's still important, and there's still a lot of discrimination. But what is frightening is that we all should be educated about HIV and we've got kids taking risks and contracting HIV where it just shouldn't be happening at this time in our society.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely want to mention that. I read that in her bio. I definitely want to mention that.
Yeah, well, I want to tell you, Miss Fiona, you bring a lot of interesting things to light here. And I think it was very educational for us because I think people don't think about different countries and the laws and ways of different countries as opposed to ours.
Yeah, I think, I mean, America's such a big country that I think it's hard for America to maybe see other countries, which is totally understandable. And a lot of countries like Australia sometimes live in the shadow of America. So all our TV programs are American and, you know, so much of our culture is American. But, you know, as we become so much, the globe becomes so much smaller, I wonder whether one day we'll start seeing more international laws and we'll start seeing, I guess, the blurring of lines for countries because the way the internet works and the way travel works, that we're just, the globe is, as I say, getting so much smaller.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yes, that's right.
Blur the international line. You got a whole bunch of people talking about, oh, that's that.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I guess when you're seeing what's happening with Mexico, like, yeah. We got a long way to go there, baby.
Yeah, we got a long way to go as far as working together. I mean, as I see it, working together means crushing all opposition, meaning regular voices, and then we can work together. I don't see that one happening anytime.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's the way we'd like to work together with you. I think we'd probably like to do it either.
But I want to say thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, guys. It's been really fun.
Awesome. And, I mean, I'd love to speak to you again. I mean, I want to be down with y'all. Maybe we can start the United States Sex Party.
Hey, fantastic. I'd be really supportive. I can come up and visit you.
Hey.
Are you on Facebook?
Yes, we are. Australian Sex Parties on Facebook. And we're on Twitter as well, which is Australian Sex Party or AUS Sex Party. Yeah, you can find us pretty much everywhere. If you're searching in Australia, you just type sex into Google and we come up as the number 3 search result in Australia. I think it would be a bit different in the States.
So who's number 1?
I reckon they paid to be number 1. We got number 3.
Well, I want to thank you once again, Fiona, for coming on and blessing us with your presence on the show. And, hey, anytime you want to come on, let me know.
I will, Dick. I will. Thank you very much, guys. It's been great fun. Bye.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And okay. Good day.
Good day, yes.
All right. That was Fiona from the Sex Party. Wow. That was very, very enlightening. I learned a lot there. I learned
More than what you expected, right?
Oh no! It was not about sex, and I think that's the thing. And we have to finish this discussion on another day. People, when sex, it automatically takes serious off of the conversation for some strange reason.
Exactly. I mean, it's kind of like our names. I mean, it's a bait and switch. I mean,
right. Exactly, because people think because your name is, then automatically anything that you say is invalid. And we can't think like that. And on that note, I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Fiona for coming on. I want to thank my special co-host, Benita VJJ. I hope y'all Googled that and y'all know what VJJ means. And on that note, Smooth Drama Dick Tucker, this is JJ. We out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth.